You're listening to Intellectual Erection,
a place where we talk about the naughty.
To stimulate your thinking.
You're listening
to
Intellectual Erection.
Intellectual Erection.
Передачу, где мы говорим о диспутам
субъекта
секса.
To stimulate your thinking.
Welcome back to Intellectual Erection. I'm your host, Patrick. Today I'm speaking with Insta-famous tattoo artist Kurt Montgomery.
Yeah, you can throw a beer can, fucking whip the whole thing at me.
In this episode, we talk about the inspiration behind his highly sexual and even perverse tattoos, and how actually those tattoos have recently come to life as Kurt began to explore the sex-positive communities more recently. This is the last episode that I have backlogged that was recorded prior to the quarantine situation. So we are moving into new territory now, which is why I want to remind everyone that for the next episode, I am putting together a compilation of anonymous sexy stories. I've already had a bunch of submissions, but I would love to get more from the listeners. You will be anonymous. All I need you to do is take your phone and record the audio of you telling your best sexy, outrageous, wild, fun story. Then send it to me by email at intellectualerection@gmail.com, and I will put it together into an anonymous episode of Sexy Tales straight out of quarantine so that we can have something to enjoy while we're self-isolating. And hopefully we can have more than one compilation episode if I get a few more submissions. As for what the future holds for Intellectual Erection, I am looking into potentially doing online interviews by Zoom or Skype. I'm going to have to start looking into it, but we'll see. I'm going to keep trying to put content out there for you. And please remember, freelancers, and especially sex workers, aren't making that much money now because their main source of revenue is gone. So do go out there and support them. Go on their OnlyFans, go sign up for their classes. See what you can do, especially if you have the means to spread the wealth a little bit and try to enjoy their content and the things that they're putting out there because they are still trying to work. And as always, listen, subscribe, review, and most of all, enjoy. I'm sitting here today with
Kurt Montgomery.
Kurt Montgomery. If you don't know the name, then you should. Maybe you should Google it. What do we have, a semi-celebrity in the house?
Semi. Semi's right.
Well, semi, yeah. I mean, I think you're the first person that I have from Instagram that's verified. So that gives you some kind of celebrity status.
We'll say there. I guess that blue check mark,
yeah,
I guess eventually does some good for some people.
It means you haven't done anything to shadow ban you. Although your art, on the other hand.
Yes.
Your art, on the other hand, which is partially what we're here to talk about.
Sure.
Is definitely very saucy.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't you tell the listeners what it is that you do?
I guess monochromatic line tattoos that are, you know, provocative, but hopefully artistic at the same time. Sometimes less art, more provocative, but I try and weave the two together that, you know, one doesn't overshadow the other. And it's kind of a long story how that all started, but that's where we are now. So,
well, we're going to get into that long story because that's part of what we're here to do. The first thing that I always ask people when they come onto the show is the origin question. It's a two-parter.
Okay.
The first part is I want you to tell me if you remember when you were a kid,
okay,
very young, what is the first memory you have of encountering sex or sexuality in the world, whether it's in media, in person, or anything? Just the first time that you remember seeing something that was to do with sex and what that experience was like.
I don't know whether it was an actual physical thing I seen, but it was probably the first time I ever thought that way was Kelly Kapowski from Saved by the Bell. Safe to say.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? Not bad, eh? Yeah. So that was... So that was probably my very first, I would imagine, my very first thought when it comes to sexuality was, why am I attracted to this person? That would, I don't know what grade, probably 4. I don't know, you know, like it seems a little late because most people have come through some sort of situation in their lives that would have, you know, that would be memorable to them before that. But I feel like that was probably my first and first crush.
Okay, so that was your first crush.
Yeah, let's say that.
But do you remember seeing anything that was sexual when you didn't quite maybe understand what it was? Usually I get a story something like I found some porno mags or I found something in the VCR.
I definitely found porno mags, but I don't think like I don't know whether it was pre that. I don't think it was pre that. It was definitely post those like Kelly Kapowski feels.
Yeah.
That was probably where it was at.
So first you had the little ding of the bell. Yeah. Your little bell ding.
Safe to say.
Yeah. And then the porn started.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, the second part of the question is usually, how did you get involved in the sex positive communities? But I think prior to that, we got to talk about how you got into the art community with your work. And then we'll talk about the intersections of that and the sex positive communities.
Sure.
Because it feels like one came before the other.
Yeah, one definitely came before the other. And it was the art came before the sex positive however you want to say it. I really, I'd drawn my whole life. I drew since I was a kid and took it seriously in high school to some degree. And then, you know, kind of fell off in high school. And there was that gap period between the ages of 17 and say, you know, 22, where I was a fucking complete write-off as a human, drinking and partying and acting like an asshole. So I basically, you know, was out of the realm at those in between those ages. I focused a lot on sports and then a lot, you know, I went to school and so on and so forth. But it wasn't until I was about 22 that I stopped drinking and stopped partying and stopped doing all the, you know, the fun things in life. And that was my outlet, my creative outlet, I guess, took over it subdued the drinking and stuff. I needed things to do on Friday and Saturday night. So that was my Friday and Saturday night, was staying in and, you know, reteaching myself to, you know, focus on drawing. And then I carried on. I was sober for probably like 18 years. And, you know, in those 18 years, my art career has kind of come in waves of success and failure. And, you know, I'm riding a nice high right now of success with tattooing. But before that, it was fine art. That was, you know, month to month. The creative field when you're an illustrator was terrifying, to say the least. So you wouldn't know if you would be, you know, top shit 1 month and then, you know, looking for rent money the next. So it was really, you know, the lead up to tattooing was the most, you know, interesting part of the journey, which was me essentially scrounging for rent money for most of my 20s while most of my buddies were owning houses and cars and cottages and having lovely wives and so on and so forth. So it wasn't until my early 30s that things started to kind of snowball with success to some degree, if we can call it that.
So it sounds like you sacrificed a bit of your youth for your craft, mm-hmm. because you needed to survive and you had a passion for something that you didn't want to give up.
Absolutely. And I think that at that time I was also probably, you know, on a one-way street to, you know, either being dead or in jail for, you know, acting like I was at the time. So it was also kind of like one of those things that pushed me in a good direction to try and, you know, pull everything together.
Salvation through art?
I guess we can call it that. I would say that's the nicest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Well, I think we could all use a little salvation through art.
Here and there.
Especially now with the fucking quarantine.
We're not having fun with this. I don't think anybody's pretending. Like, we can humor ourselves on Instagram, you know, by creating and you know, dancing with our dogs and listening to fucking music, but it's absolutely zero fun so far, so I'm not going to lie about that.
I hear you.
But we're here, so that's okay.
It's still forcing us to kind of tap into our resources for what we can create.
Absolutely. Sure.
So,
yeah.
When it comes to your art specifically, now, was your art always kind of sexual, or did that just come through in transition to tattooing?
No, it was never sexual. As a matter of fact, it was a lot of landscape and a lot of whatever the hell people wanted from me, which was, you know, never sexual. So, so it turns out that, yeah, tattooing was probably the turning point when it comes to the sexualness of my tattoos or of my art. But I can't disagree that that's not one of the best things that's ever happened to my art. So, I was a fine artist, high realism, you know, illustrator for a long time, and it wasn't until tattooing, and it was, I remember it was like a lazy Sunday afternoon at the shop, had no appointments, and I decided to draw a woman sitting on a man's face inside of a triangle, inside of a square, or a circle, yeah, and then I posted that on Instagram, and within 45 minutes, that stencil was on, and within, you know, 2 hours, that tattoo was tattooed.
Wow.
So there was a niche that hadn't been met, whether it was Canadian or North American. There were people in the UK and Europe doing similar things. But before that, no, my work really had zero levels of sexuality.
Is it true that there's some kind of like European tattooing scene that seems to be ahead of the North American scene? Because a lot of tattoo artists, they always reference somebody in Europe who did it first, who created a new genre. I remember Trash Polka started in Germany, for example.
Yeah, and
whole arm is that.
Yeah.
And then like anything new that I hear that's happening here is something that's already begun in somewhere in Europe.
Yeah, very true. Yeah, you're not wrong at all. That seems to be the wave, whether it's Eastern Europe, Western Europe, or like even it seems now in Korea is the big is our big push, because those are the guys we want to be, right? So yeah, at the time it was Eastern Europe. For me anyway, it was Russia and Eastern Europe, and then there was a couple of people within, you know, Western Europe, meaning like Germany and England and France, that were doing some similar stuff. And I was trying to, you know, grasp from everybody at the time, because I really didn't have a whole lot of direction. I went into my tattooing apprenticeship as a realism artist, so a black and gray one at that. So, you know, it was me trying to find something that wasn't happening in Toronto, let alone I got lucky. Very few people at all were doing it in North America. So essentially it was just, you know, right time, right place, right niche, and, you know, rode the wave and still hoping to ride it. So,
yeah. I mean, you're doing very well right now. I can see, you know, your Instagram's very popular.
Yeah, thank you.
And your pieces are also very popular. And it's definitely a unique style that if I see it somewhere, I know now what a Kurt Montgomery piece looks like. It'll be black and white, stencil style. Yeah. Is that the right way?
Yeah, black and the odd time there's a splash of red.
Black and red.
Yeah, yeah, but also white, you know, or brown, whatever the skin tone is.
Right. So typically what I've seen is the black and red.
Yep.
Like a stencil, no shading, it's minimalistic, and then it'll be outlines of typically something sexual or the combination of, you know, sexual with death, like the sex death instinct combos. One of my favorite pieces is, in fact, the red skeleton hand grabbing the woman's throat.
Love it. Love that.
Right?
Yep.
Because it's got like sex and death combined.
Sure.
And it's some of the themes that we're really kind of passionate about, I think, since fucking Freud.
Absolutely. And I think I think it's such a popular topic in tattooing and life, I guess, you know, just in general. It seems to be an easy win. So it's like, how do you take that easy win to the next level to make it, you know, to push yourself and make yourself more creative? And that's the ongoing struggle constantly of trying to like figure out how to make what's already popular, you know, a little bit, you know, more of a struggle for yourself.
So how would you describe your niche then?
My niche, what do you mean at the time? How did it become a niche for me, or how did I find the niche, or?
Well, I was going to say, like, how do you describe it now? But I guess all those other questions are also interesting, is how it came to be.
Came to be.
So yeah. You said you were dicking around the shop. You drew a woman sitting on a man's face,
sure.
Put that in a triangle, put that in a circle, boom, it's on someone's body.
Yeah.
Then what happens?
Then it's still a bit of a slow burn, but I realize how quickly that happened, and realize that this niche, the sexuality niche, hadn't been touched on, because I feel like a lot of the tattooing community, perhaps them, I'm speaking for it, and I might be completely wrong, and I probably am, but I feel like it was kind of uncharted waters besides a nude woman standing with a skull, or, you know, whatever. But the reality of it is like, you know, I don't even know whether the sexuality aspect of tattooing, I mean, it's always been there. Body parts and those, the way that those tattoos make you feel, empower you, whether they empower you or not, or how they look on your body. That's, you know, the main goal. So whether sexuality or, you know, of my tattooing, maybe sometimes it seems a bit extreme, but at the same time, it is, you know, it is human body, like whether it's sexual or not to people. So I think maybe I just, like, at the time, and I'm not taking credit for it by any means, because I'm sure it had been done a million times, but maybe, you know, that pushed it in more of a, you know, open, well, hopefully an open, you know, communication of sexuality in tattooing.
So how long ago did you start this?
It would have been 2015.
Okay, so good 5 years.
Yeah, spring 2015 would have been my first one.
You say open, and what I think that the listeners need to understand is that your tattoos are not just the typical sex scenes or sexuality, which typically features femme bodies and, you know, tits and ass and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. That's been done for a long time.
Sure, yeah.
It's existed. And then there's also been probably the gay scene in tattooing, and that has its own niche. What seems to have happened with your tattoos is that there's a good deal of diversity.
Yeah.
So I've seen through your tattoos combinations of all sorts of sexual acts with all sorts of bodies, mm-hmm. all sorts of sexualities represented, and identities.
Yeah.
Which is uncommon in one place.
Right. Yeah, it seems to be you find your voice and you roll with it. And to be honest with you, that's I don't know how that evolved. This might sound really, you know, shitty, but 5 years ago the world was a very different place than what it is right this very second. So even back in, you know, 2015, 2016, we were, you know, I was always trying to push whatever sexuality, it wasn't going to make me uncomfortable, you know, and where sometimes maybe the old guard of this industry has been a little bit, you know, I don't know whether the right word would be turned off, but, you know, maybe a little bit judgmental. And I don't want to speak for tattooing as a whole, because that's probably not the case. But I always felt that, you know, like I always felt like a lot of the tattooing community, maybe if somebody wanted something that was, you know, something that wasn't a straight piece. I sound like I'm trying to beat around the bush here, you know, but I'm trying to be sensitive without casting. Yeah. I don't want to assume that that was the case, but that's what felt like the case for a long time.
Even from somebody outside of the tattooing community, that being me, mm-hmm. from the stuff that I've seen online, it's not very common to see diverse sexuality and identities being represented in a mainstream account.
Right.
And I say mainstream because of the popularity that you've gained on social media because of your style.
Sure.
Most of the time what happens is you'll see a lot of the typical mainstream sexuality, which are usually, you know, women's bodies in usually objectified poses and whatnot. Now, if somebody just sees one of your pieces with a woman, they could think that. But if they see your entire repertoire, There are sexual scenes between men. There are sexual scenes between men and trans folks. And there are orgies and gangbangs and bisexual sex and a lot of very explicit explicit line work.
Sure.
You know, it looks good.
Yeah, thank you.
And I've seen some people who have just gotten a whole bunch of those scenes all over their body.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Right? So,
yep.
I mean, I guess what I want to ask from this is, how diverse is your clientele, given that you appeal to a bunch of niche markets, sure. actually?
Yeah. I've gotten very, you know, like the people I get to meet daily are, you know, some people will come to me for a rose and some people will come to me for, you know,
Two cowboys jerking off.
Exactly.
That was on size.
On the back of somebody's back. You
that
know?
Was huge. It was a huge piece.
And that piece was originally done by an illustrator in Philadelphia in the 50s or 60s named Jim French. So he was a gay illustrator before gay illustration was probably, you know, as versus and widely, you know, illustrated as it is now. So, that piece is known, and I'm sure it was a Sex Pistols t-shirt in the 80s and the 90s, or 80s I should say. And so when Zach wanted it, I was just like, that's amazing. He always talked about it as being like a back piece, and I was like, we need to do this, and we need to do it soon because this is too good to just drop. So you have these people that will come in for their rose and your, you know, script that says, you know, their mom or dad's names or whatever they need, and then you'll have the people that will come in for that, and it's so I meet the it's a very diverse crowd, and you just basically have to treat everyone as the same, you know, like everyone's coming to you for your work and you're thankful every day, and you just, you know, roll with the punches no matter what you have to draw it for them, right? I remember one of my favorite, and this is like in most recent history, was I did a portrait of inline of a girl and her grandfather. And then my next appointment was three guys standing out with erections. So the emotional roller coaster that you have to put on that day is was pretty impressive. I was really happy about myself that day.
I think I know the piece that you're talking about.
Yeah,
was it on some?
It was on
thigh?
The side. It was on the thigh. So that guy, So he has then come
like
back.
All the scenes. Yeah.
He's come back for all the scenes, and they all have meaning, and that was the beauty of it. I never asked questions. Ever. Sometimes I'll poke, but I never really dove deep into why people want these pieces. I just, you know what? If you seem genuine and you're a nice person, you know, who am I to ask questions? So about the third tattoo in on that leg piece that we're working on, I said, what do these mean? And if you look at all these pieces, which are scattered through the Instagram, and I think they've actually, you know, they've made a print of it, and they all have meaning. And I would never put that in the caption of what the meaning is, because I feel like the meaning should mean whatever the person that's, you know, absorbing with their eyes, that should be the meaning, whatever they want it to be. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to be the person to like put a meaning out, which is why my captions are usually as, you know, nonsensical and as
your captions all crazy. Sound like you're on a tractor drinking a beer and you're a redneck.
And you got to be on acid.
Every caption is a redneck on a tractor drinking a beer.
Let's put it that way.
Fucking
A,
look
at that. Nice. I've never heard anybody say that. I don't disagree. But that's the beauty of it is like never put a face on top of what somebody might perceive a tattoo to be.
Well, yeah, because I think the meanings can be private and public, and those interpretations are left to both audiences and the people who have their tattoos.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I also really like that tattoo that somebody got that said, I hate Kurt Montgomery tattoos.
Oh my God. Yeah, that was a scenario.
Was that ironic or was that genuine?
That was very genuine.
Really?
Oh, yes. Like, that was extremely genuine.
What's the story? Come on.
It was so good. I think it was a Friday afternoon, and I had finished an appointment. I was sitting there, and I, you know, oh, a DM from so-and-so had sent to me. And I had a minute, so I, like, opened it up, and it was a photo of the photo I posted on the Instagram saying, you know, like, it poorly done. I hate Kurt Montgomery tattoos. So in my best response, I wrote, I love it. And I got about a 6-paragraph, you know, when Instagram cuts you off because you said too much, I got about 6 of those right in a row about how much of an asshole I was and how much that person didn't like me. And I'd never met them. They were in, I forget where the hell they were. They were in Europe somewhere and I can't remember where. And I was just like, I think that's one of the nicest things anybody I think has ever sent me in a DM, you know?
Did they explain why they hate you from a distance?
I think there was like, there was hits of it. And it was always, you know, I don't even know. I can't even remember what the major talking point was.
Yeah.
But it was like, it's like everything. You're going to have haters and you're going to have people that, you know, hopefully enjoy what you do. And I think the more haters you have, the better job you're doing.
Well, someone's got your name on their body.
Well, it turned out we worked at Into Merch, so I mean, you can't really complain about that. We actually use the same font.
Yeah, let's get a t-shirt.
Yeah, we have them.
Really?
Yeah,
that's amazing. Oh shit, well I might have to come into the shop and donate some piece of skin.
Well, you can come for a tattoo, but I'll bring you one of those shirts just in case you actually mean it.
I'll wear it. You know where I'm going to wear it? I'm going to wear it to a sex party.
Well, I'll see you there.
Speaking of which, let's dive into the next subject. So it seems like for a while you were doing one thing, art. Then art meets sex and sexuality.
Sure.
You're doing tattooing. And now it seems like that's transitioned into the real world for you as you've entered the sex positive communities. Mm-hmm. What happened there?
Oh. Wow.
This is where mom needs to stop listening.
Mom, you can cut out now, eh? No, I think there's, I don't know. I feel like the, can I call it the real world? Yeah, the real world for me, I don't know. I'll bring it all right up. So about a year and a half ago, me and my ex-girlfriend, who was a lovely human being, parted ways. And not long after that, I got into a very big contract of illustration for a very big book that is going to be lovely. And I'm very fortunate to have been a part. But those days that I was working on those books were, you know, a good 22 hours of my day. Like I would sleep for a couple hours, go in and tattoo, and then come back and work on this book. And not all in, you know, it sounds pretty dramatic, but it was pretty close. And so after the book completed and I'd kind of like handed everything in and everything was good to go, it was July. And I was there by myself with my, you know, teacup Yorkie, who's, you know, the best friend you could ever have, but at the same time being like, well, what's next, you know? And so I'd gone out on a couple of dates here and there, and you know, the whole time maybe thinking, wow, I don't know whether this is, you know, 100% right for me. So in September, August, late August, I guess my friend had introduced me to, you know, more of a kink society. So I went to one of the nights, and it was honestly, that was one of the nights that changed my life, I think, because I met all these brand new strangers that were all of a sudden, you know, as close to me as my best friends. And I wasn't sure how or why or what happened, but it just was that genuine of interaction with these people that all of a sudden I was like, wow, you know, maybe this, you know, underlying world that I wasn't completely aware of is my new world.
So a year and a half ago, mm-hmm. you were introduced into the kink community via
September of last year. Okay. A year and a half ago, I had broken up with my long-term girlfriend.
So it's just been a, you know,
it's very short.
Half a year.
Yeah.
So your inauguration into the sex positive communities would have happened about 6 months ago, half a year or so. And you're saying this happened at a kink party?
Well, it wasn't necessarily a kink party, but it was a kink community in which I found, you know, through a friend of mine. And we did a night at Oasis, the club in Toronto, which was, you know, like, it is what it is. And we went and we, you know, we made some very nice connections that evening. And, you know, so that's when it kind of like opened my eyes to being like, okay, maybe this is out here. Maybe this should be looked at a little bit, you know, deeper in my lifestyle or my life in general, you know?
So what was it that you found so welcoming about these communities?
Well, I think it was just like, there was no judgment. No judgment, nobody was there for any other reason but to have a nice time. And everyone was there for, you know, whatever they're there for, whether it was for sex or for like, you know, kink, like whips, whatever you were into, you know, and that's, but my tattoos have always tried to translate. And then all of a sudden it was right in front of me as a, wow, you know, this is actually a thing. Maybe, you know, I'd not really been introduced to it until then. So as, you know, as an evening, shall we call it.
So now your tattoos have come to life.
They seem to have. And you know, they, I mean, I've always tried to like look for inspiration, however that was throughout life. So, I mean, yeah, my tattoos have definitely, you know, upped the kink and upped the sexuality in recent history. But I've also tried to make my tattoos or my Instagram look that way. You know, like there's the odd time I'll post something that's, you know, outside the realm, but these are the kind of people that I really enjoy being around. And, you know, I'm lucky to have been sort of welcomed into it. So
you're a fresh face in the sex positive communities, and this is your first go around.
What? First go around. I like that.
So, well, yeah, I mean, it's good to hear perspectives from people who are relatively new to the lifestyle, to the scene, to whatever you want to call it, mm-hmm. because sometimes they have different lenses, the ways they see the communities and the way that they experience it, that some of the people that have been around for a while may have forgotten, or there could be a totally new lens that nobody's, you know, experienced yet. So it's nice to hear from the people that are new to it exactly kind of what it feels like.
Sure.
So what I'm hearing is that it feels welcoming.
Yeah.
There's a lack of judgment. And maybe in the absence of people posturing and having to present themselves in weird, inhibited ways, you know, you find a little bit of an easier time connecting with people when some of your vulnerabilities are out on the table.
Yeah. No, you're not wrong. You know, and I'm sure at one point you remember being new to this, like the community as well. And yeah, you're right though. Like, I think when you're not, you know, you can go to a club 100, you know, weekends in a row and go home and be, you know, dissatisfied with your evening, but you've spent, you know, $300 being dissatisfied and hungover the next day. Where in this, you know, group of humans, we can go and we all, you know, have a nice time, whether it leads, you know, to sex or not. It's everyone just is there for, you know, the right reasons and welcomes newcomers or, you know, people that have been around for, you know, years. The most important part is that everyone is welcoming and non-judgmental to whatever your ideas of sex are, you know?
So what was it like going to your first sex party?
My first sex party was terrifying. in a good way, though. I was super excited. And I don't know, that excitement had no, I had no expectations, which I think is the most important part to each night. Whether it's, you know, you're gathering with friends or you're just, you know, going to work that day or you're going coming home from work, you know, zero expectations are the best because you come in and you just go with whatever the night throws at you. is you're gonna use it to your advantage and have a nice time. And so my first sex party, I didn't really know I was going to until pretty much the last minute. And I think that's the first time we ever met. Was at Taylor's house. So I had no idea who I was going to meet, who was going to be there, what the scenario was. And yeah, so the cab ride over to the, you know, pre-hangout was terrifying. And that terror then quickly turned to, you know, hey, this is going to be a nice time no matter what happens. And I left that party probably more inspired by life and translating into art than I can't remember the last time I was that inspired.
So that actually is something I wanted to ask is exactly how being now in the scene and witnessing real humans engaging in the acts that you've been illustrating for so long. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm sure you've seen it before, but you know, the reality of it and the amount of it all at once, did that translate into something different for your craft?
Oh, for sure. I think it puts a new light on the emotion that it deserves, you know, when before you're just drawing because it is what it is. Maybe it's, you know, something that's interest you or something that's, you know, something somebody's asked you to draw. But now you're in the light of it. And all of a sudden, it has human emotion, which I've always tried to portray, but I don't think until you're actually in that environment, you can honestly portray. So as soon as you're in that environment, you have and something inspires you outside of that party later on in your drawing, you have no other choice but to be attached to that piece. You know,
it's personal.
Yeah, it gets very personal very quick, and you don't understand. You understand it, but you don't realize that it's been missing in your work for as long as it has been until you're actually throwing yourself into it. And that was probably one of the most surreal Friday nights I've ever had in my life. And I've been had some pretty surreal Friday nights in my life, but that was,
you saw your art come to life.
It did. And you know what, like I came out of that first experience more inspired than I'd ever been in my life, which is crazy to say that, because I've been in lots of circumstances where, you know, inspiration should have been no problem to come across, but I think that was the pinnacle, and I've tried to ride that pinnacle since. But I honestly believe that was probably the night that I went home and I went to bed, and then I woke up that next day and I haven't created art in the way, you know, since, well, I have since, but not pre that, yeah. For sure. It was an interesting situation and I loved it.
So then what's the future got in store for your art and for your, you know, navigating the sex positive communities? What do you want?
What do I want? Well, obviously I want my art to always continue to grow and to, you know, hope that it's, you know, sending not only something you want to look at and be a, you know, and to own or whatever, because hopefully that continues for a long time, but hopefully there's the emotion behind it that I just spoke about. I hope that people are honest and or believe that I'm honest with my work. And I think that the introduction to the community and the people that I've met and people outside of the community that I've met and you know, had, you know, an opportunity to be with her and be, you know, hang out with, like everyone's inspiring in their own way. So like, but now I really want my, you know, now my work has that kind of like push that it needs behind it to truly make it believable for myself, if not for anybody else. So, you know.
And what are you hoping for from the sex positive communities?
Just, you know, growth, I think. Growth as a human, growth as like, you know, the willingness to, you know, have these kind of people in your life that make you, you know, that really help you along, you know, whether you're up or you're down. And to be honest with you, it's funny because during, you know, like we're in this situation where we're in, you know, like this social distancing and we're all kind of hanging out at our own houses. We talked about it before, but the group, you know, a lot of the friends that we have, you know, kind of upped it so that the social distancing doesn't seem like it's even a thing right now, even though it's a very big thing. So I think you can't find a group of people that are, you know, that willing, you know, to check up on each other.
Yeah. So I think,
you know,
we all
have best friends, but, you know.
Yeah. I think the support that's offered in the sex positive communities is, so far in my experience, unparalleled. It's just the amount of people that are willing to be there for you, willing to check in, to lend an ear, to talk, to chat, to share everything from emotions to nudes to love to whatever it is that's been missing in your life. You know, it seems like these people are very willing to connect on all levels.
Absolutely.
In ways that are uncommon in other communities, at least in my experience.
No, I 100%. And I like, maybe I've put myself into some communities that are like not quite as open in the past, but definitely now. It's now that, you know, I've, you know, found this group of people, everyone is always so nice and like supportive of art, supportive of each other. You're right. You just explained it all. Everyone's so like, is right behind you to do whatever, and look after each other. Because I think that's probably what we should be focused on a lot more, but it doesn't always happen. So,
especially, you know, now.
Especially now. So you're right.
Well, before I let you go,
mm-hmm.
The last thing that I usually ask, what, you know?
I don't, but...
Oh, you don't? Okay.
I feel like it would change each episode, but I'm going to guess it doesn't.
No.
Here we
go. This one stays stable. I ask for a fun, sexy, or, you know, outrageous story. You know, give me your best shot, your most outrageous, sexy, fun story.
what is... oh, fuck. I'm going to be so vanilla compared to everyone else, I'm sure.
I don't know if you are. You don't have to name names.
We won't name names. So, you know... how detailed do people go into?
You go as detailed as you want.
Oh,
baby.
Fuck, that's devastating, isn't it? it was so. All right, so my very, you know, it is going to be vanilla because there's been so many that aren't, but I feel like they're all just as lovely. But I think it has to be my very first experience going out with the, you know, a community of people that, like, you know, we're so welcoming so quick. And, you know, there was one person that was specific and, you know, we shared a really, really nice night, and it was with the group that I, you know, currently am very, you know, involved in. And, you know, it was that one person that kind of just like made me think a little bit past what I had previously known and made me then, you know, really think about where my life was at the time, you know, because at that time, that night could have gone one way or another. That could have gone back to, you know, complete monogamy and, you know, looking for that one, which I think in my, you know, learning since last September is definitely not for me. But I think that one night when I met that one person who kind of made me feel like I was very welcomed, and they knew of my tattoos and they knew of, you know, nothing else about me, and that didn't weigh their judgment towards who I was as a human, because there's a lot of people that don't, you know, appreciate my art, and that's okay. I completely get it. But they were, you know, very helpful in me being introduced to the kink community. So like it could, you know, and then there's like, you know, a few other stories that are probably way fucking cooler, but but that's the one that I really think that's my top of learning and navigating my way through. And then we hung out again, and it was equally as lovely. And you know, like, I think it's just, you find the right people, that you're supposed to hang out with in general. And next thing you know, you've built yourself this society of wonderful humans that are, you know, there to support each other. That is probably very boring and probably not what you're after, but I'm going to give you that one because you know a few other ones that are really good. So
well, you could pepper in some details. There's
Okay, so pepper in some details. Well,
like what made you feel welcome or, you know?
Because I think, you know, this could probably feels a little bit self-absorbed for myself because I don't, you know, you don't ever believe any kind of hype that is in front of you. And because as soon as you do, that's detrimental to who you are as an artist. But it was nice for somebody to know who I was, but then not judge who I was without knowing me. It wasn't being judged by my art. I was being judged by who was right in front of that person. You know, so for me, that was probably one of the most exciting parts was like, yeah, this person actually, you know, appreciates my art. And then as a human, I'm not a complete piece of shit. And then as, you know, I went to my very first, you know, big play party and the same thing happened a couple of times where after it got out, whatever, who you are, it was more about who you are as a human, less about who you are as art, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, it's less your maybe celebrity status or your name or whatever. It's like, who are you in this setting?
Yeah, who are you in the setting and how are you going to, you know, how are you going to react in these settings, you know? And are you going to, I don't know. It's really hard to explain. It's really hard to explain because I don't believe celebrity or anything like that. But at the same time, it's, you know, it's, Instagram is what it is. It has, you know, allowed us to grow, create our work and so on and so forth. But it does have those connotations behind it where people think one thing of you without knowing you, you know. So, and I feel like that's probably what I want most out of this interview is for people to know that, like, that one statement is most important to me is, like, I want you to know who I am as a human as opposed to who I am as an artist. As much as I appreciate that you like me as an artist or you don't like me as an artist, but just know.
There's
humanity behind it to some degree that is educated to some degree as well.
And the art is inspired by real events.
Definitely since September.
Well, if you got bookings in the near future, you know. You can certainly paint some scenes.
Absolutely. Well, I'll be at home drawing them till then.
Well, Kurt, this is your chance to plug away. Where can people find you? All the places, all the things where you want to be found.
So the shop I work at is Inside Out, and that is College and Grace area. And then my Instagram is Kurt Montgomery Tattoos, and email is KurtMontgomeryTattoos@gmail.com. And...
yeah,
that's what it is. Oh yeah, by the way, I have a really, you know, sassy Instagram as well called Sexy Acrylics, which is pretty excellent. And that's where I do the tattoos I wish I could do on human beings on colored acrylics.
Awesome. Well, we can for the pictures that I'm going to post of you to promo this episode, we can do both your art and images of you if you like.
Beautiful.
So people can see a little bit of both.
Love to.
All right,
cool. Thank you very much,
Kurt. Thanks.
Awesome. Thank you, Patrick. You're listening to Intellectual Erection, a place where we talk about the naughty to stimulate your thinking.